Now would you please turn to Romans 8, and we'll read once again 28 through 39, and then we're going to zero in on verse 37. The Romans 8 then, 28 through 39. And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? Since God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or poverty or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and hallelujah. Enough said. Let's go home. So we looked at these passages. Let's go back to verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We did not deal with that in detail, and we really need to. Now, as we approach that this morning, the sermons fall into different types according to the scriptural message. For instance, Paul will act as an attorney presenting a case before a jury to convince them of certain doctrinal truth. And we find that often. Sometimes there's a problem and a solution, and we deal with that. More often, it's what we call expository preaching, which is lacking today, where we take a passage of Scripture and study it and organize it according to its purpose to present it in an orderly way, using just the passage itself. This morning, I want to use a different style called a running commentary. Just taking the words that are here, commenting on each word, not necessarily in an outline form, but to deal with the passage. To help you follow, there's an outline on the back of the bulletin, which is not just a sermon outline, but a running commentary outline. Now, we have sort of an idea here in this passage of a problem and a solution. We say, Paul, why did you write Romans 8, 28 to 39? Because there is a problem. Our problem is insecurity caused by our sin. The solution is in Christ. that nothing can separate us. And in verse 37, we can say the solution to being insecure is to know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, I don't want to just harp on this idea of insecurity, but it's real, folks. It's really real. Sin brings insecurity. We're all very insecure people. It just comes out in different forms. In fact, some people are labeled as very emotional or non-emotional, and we look at people and say, boy, that person is really emotional, and the other person isn't. That's wrong. We're all very emotional. It just comes out in different ways. We're all very insecure, and we need the solution given to us in the Scripture. Now, what about the world we live in, the society we have? What are they doing this morning? The society we live in a large part, is attempting to escape the insecurity. It's a haunting thing. It is not easy to live with and brings about the worst behavior possible in us. So the escape route is what is happening. That's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They tried to escape, and God came to them. So what does society do? Well, they hide with drugs, over-drinking, success, being busy, living for materialism. Some people take on the form of a bully and try to overcome the insecurity in that way. There's just a number of ways people are trying to escape. Another one is through positive thinking. It's interesting how that psychology has become the center of many churches today. Now, Norman Vincent Peale on the East Coast is sort of the daddy of the idea of the power of positive thinking, and he has written a book which became a bestseller in the country, The Power of Positive Thinking. On the West Coast, Robert Schuller, his protege, has taken that up and just changed it a little bit to say The Power of Possibility Thinking. And taking people down that psychological road, which has no theological foundation. What is the problem with that? It is ignoring the real problem just by trying to conjure up in your mind a pretense. Just pretend the problem is not there. And deal with wishful thinking, good thoughts, great thoughts. Don't let other things enter in and go to sleep on your way to hell. Feel good about yourself. Get a good self-image, but you're going to hell, folks. That's the problem. Now, so many people are deceived by this because they can use theological terms. For instance, they can use the word sin. But what they mean by sin is not the biblical meaning of sin. Sin is having a poor self-image. That's what they call sin. What is the solution? They use the word redemption. But what is redemption to them? Redemption is getting a good self-image. And so people escape through that. Some people escape the insecurity by blaming others for everything. Excluding self, living with alibis, procrastinating. Well, you could go on and on talking about society. And you and I have biblical truth before us as we consider the solution to the problem. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's where we live. That's what we deal with. Now, just prior to verse 37, we have a quote from Isaiah. For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, why did Paul include that as he was going to write the next sentence of verse 37? It's just a reminder from Isaiah that in Isaiah's day, that the God's people who believed and trusted in Him were being persecuted. They were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. There was a great problem. And tradition says that Isaiah himself was sawed in two, taken his life by sawing him in two. So this is what he's writing about. And Paul brings the contrast now, the solution stated. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Our own personal problems, the problems that society can bring about, we are more than conquerors. Now, it's an interesting thing that we use these words. What are there? Five words here. We are more than conquerors is one word in the Greek text. And it's translated over conquerors. So we could say, we are over conquerors. And the we, of course, refers to God's people only. This is a message to God's elect, that we are more than conquerors, and all that He conquered is our victory. So let's think about that for a moment. Certainly, the all things that Paul has listed, and we have read those four or five times, the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, poverty, peril, sword, things present, things to come. In all these things, He has conquered. But not listed in the text are other things we know for sure that He has conquered. What is His victory? What is His triumph? Whatever He conquered, we conquered because we're in Him. His victory is our victory. That's the glory of this truth. And of course, it's stated very clearly, it's through Him. Without Him, we wallow in failure and death and sin. Through Him, we have access to God into His holy presence. And this is our position before God. No matter what our personal circumstance, in Christ, we are over conquerors this morning. And we desperately need to know that to be able to live here on this earth. So we begin with the all things. Paul says, yet in all these things, which refer to the context, we are over conquerors. But what else did Christ do? He conquered sin. The sin itself He conquered. Now we know that He conquered the penalty of sin, which is hell, but He conquered sin itself. And He put away sin by the offering of Himself once and for all. There need be no more sacrifice for sin. We cannot atone for our sin. He has already done it. He put it away. Sin has been conquered. The sin itself. Not that we become sinlessly perfect, but one day we do. One day we will never sin again. Why? Because he's already taken victory over it. And I don't know about you, but even as a Christian living here on this earth, I get tired of sin. I get tired of my sin, and I get tired of the sin all around me. And one day, it'll be gone. Christ conquered death. Death could not hold him. And death cannot hold us, because we have life. And he conquered that. Christ has conquered Satan, so that he is no rival of God. God has triumphed over him. Christ has conquered all his enemies. There will never be a group of Pharisees. There will never be Roman soldiers who rise up against him. And there will never be people who take him to the cross. It's all over, folks. The victory is won. And the triumph is here. And we are over conquerors through him who loved us. Now, what kind of victory is it? Is it a close call, like the Yankees had last night with the Atlanta Braves finally winning 3-2? Is that what it is? No way. This victory, this triumph, this conquering is not even close. There's no way to measure his victory unless you say it is total, it is absolute, it is complete, and there is no question about it. The conquering is more than conquerors. We are over conquerors through him who loved us. In all that he conquered is what we have conquered, because we are in him. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loved us? God loved us. Christ loved us. The Holy Spirit loved us. Actually, having loved us. That's all settled. God's love is all settled for us. There is not a thing you could do that would cause God to love you less. It's all settled. There is not a thing you could do to cause God to love you more. You can't win brownie points with God. Nothing you could do. It's all settled. The victory of his love is absolute, complete, total victory. It's not close. It's absolute. It's a great triumph. So, he loves us. He has loved us. Now, what is the proof that God loves you and me? Is it in our circumstances? Is it because everything goes so well and we have all the money and the houses and the cars and the toys and the golf clubs and the things that we want, and so life is just wonderful, God must love me? Is that what we think? That's what most people think. But that is not biblical. It is not circumstances. It is not how comfortable we are. And it is not having an easy life. Probably the opposite, as far as that part of it goes. Well, there has to be something then that we can put a handle on that gives us a confidence of the proof of his love. What is it? It's the cross, and the cross only. It's because he died for you and he died for me. And no matter how bad it is here on this earth, his love is still there. because he died on the cross for you. He took your place. He took my place. He was our substitute. And instead of us serving the penalty of our sin and experiencing hell forever, he did. It is through him who loved us that we are more than conquerors in all these things. Now we need to know that this morning. We need to have that confidence. We need to have that assurance. Without the assurance of the truths of passages like Romans 28 through 39, there is no hope for peace or joy in living this life. People who do not have assurance of God's love and assurance of salvation cannot grow in faith, cannot grow in grace. You can't live every day waking up wondering if God loves you, or wondering if you're still a Christian, wondering if you're still saved. That is not the basis for growth. The basis for growth is knowing and understanding God's commitment to us, not ours to him, because it's too weak. It's too shallow. Our commitment is too human. His commitment is divine, all-powerful, and he exerts all of his attributes in his commitment to us, and we live off the strength of that. And this morning I pray that the Holy Spirit will impress upon all our hearts this position we have before our God, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great truth before us. And now, Lord, impress upon our minds and our hearts and our will and our total being the truth of the position you've given us in Christ. And cause us to live off the strength of that, and help us to face the problems that we all bring here this morning. The ones expressed by Laura and Cindy and Christina and the moving and the many things that are before us, Lord, that to help us take this position that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And let us be living advertisements of your grace and your sovereignty, that we believe in our God, who is all-powerful, who is gracious and loving to his people. Cause this text to be a part of our life, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.